Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. We are going verse by verse, and let's read the verse 1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia.
Now, Paul is writing this second letter to Corinthians. And as we learned first time, first letter, Corinthian church had a lot of problems and a lot of wrong teachings. But Paul tried to write the letters and try to correct this Corinthians church. Now this letter he's saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He's trying to say, I am apostle, not by my own will, not by the will of some man or some church or some bishop or pope. I am anointed by the will of God. So each and every minister supposed to be called by God, and without the will of God, if you start doing the ministry, that ministry will not have any value. And so he is giving greetings. Let's read the words too.
Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now once we say grace and peace, it comes from God. Many people are looking for peace. I'm talking about heathens. And other countries, they are thinking peace can be achieved without God. It is impossible to have peace without God. And then we say the peace and grace comes from God, and that we see in Jesus Christ. When you say grace of God and peace of God, we see in Jesus Christ. If you remember last couple of weeks, we learn from book of Isaiah 9:6, what it says, his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. And that peace did not come so easily, that peace came by the shedding the blood of Jesus Christ. So here we see, the grace be unto you and peace from our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So the peace and grace is enrolled between God the Father and God the Son, and united way the peace and grace came to us. If the Son says, I'm not going to shed my blood, I'm not going to go, peace won't come. If the Father will not send his Son, there won't be any peace, there won't be any joy, there won't be any grace. So both Father and Son works together for the mankind to give us peace. That's why they say we have peace and joy and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3.
Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort.
Now, again he says, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God is the Father, and how do we know God is the Father? Jesus Christ revealed us who Father is. Jesus is the only one say, I was in the bosom of my Father, and I came from there, that God is my Father. So people start thinking he is making himself equal unto God, and that's why people hated him and even killed him. But the Saint Paul is not afraid or not ashamed to call that Jesus Christ's Father and my Father is the same. Someone says God has children, he doesn't have grandchildren. What does it mean? When God sent his Son Jesus Christ, and then he, through Jesus Christ, made us his children. So there is not like Jesus is the Son of God and we are his children or grandchildren. We are all the children of God. That's why he said, blessed be God. Now, when you say blessed be God, People say, we cannot bless God. Yes, we can. Because the people are cursing God today. They do not like God. They do not want to talk about God. And they, instead of saying good about God, they are cursing God. When you say blessing, what does it mean? Blessing means say good about. Say good things about God. So we should be blessing God. We'll be saying, blessed be God. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. So what the God is? He says the Father of mercies. And we see God as the merciful God. In the Old Testament, when you see God, God looks like an angry God. God was angry at mankind. Why? Because of sin. The man committed sin, and the Word of God says man became enemy to God. And the devil also is the enemy of God. Once the man listens to devil and goes to the side of devil, then what happens? We became enemy to God. The Word of God says we were all sinner, and due time he sent his son. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and read first 5 verses. We can read up to 8 if you want. And we see the mercy of God there.
And you have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath.
In the time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby nature the children of wrath, even as others. What does it mean? When we were sinner, the wrath of God was upon the mankind. Means God was angry at the mankind. God wanted to destroy the mankind. And this was the situation before Jesus Christ came into this world. And if you remember, last 5 weeks, we learned the plan of salvation and why God sent Jesus Christ into this world. Not to destroy the world, but through Jesus Christ, the world might be saved. When we read in the book of St. John, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. The Word of God says God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but what? Through him, the whole world might be saved. So now here we see we were enemy to God, and the God's wrath was upon mankind. But what God did? Let's read the verse 4.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us.
God, who is rich in mercy. When you say rich in mercy, what does it mean? There is no lack of mercy in God. Just like we say he's a rich man. Our God is rich in mercy. That means when you need mercy, go to him. He will never run out of mercy because he's rich in mercy. And for his great love. See, again he says, God's love is not ordinary love. His love is divine love. And his love is great love. And with that great love, he loved us. And how do you know? Because he gave his son. He sacrificed his son. And that's what we see his love for mankind. Okay, verse 5.
Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved.
Amen. So now he says, even we were dead in sin. When we are dead means dead. But he says he quickened us together with Christ. Means we cannot be alive without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried. And when he came out of the grave, that is the hope for mankind. Without Jesus Christ, there is no life. That's why he says we are quickened in Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Without Jesus Christ, there is no grace. Without Jesus Christ, there is no mercy. Without Jesus Christ, there is no resurrection. So we are blessed in Jesus Christ. You can read up to 8.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Can you imagine? The man was made from dust. The man disobeyed God and spiritually died. That means no value. But Jesus Christ came, quickened us. And not only quickened, but he raised us up. Where up? Where the Father lives. Where the Jesus lives. In heaven. And that's what God has done. We are living in this world, but if you are born again, child of God, you can experience heaven on earth. Read verse 7.
That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
All his kindness, all his mercy, all his grace, God can show to us only through Jesus Christ. So if someone wants to go to God, there is only one way, and that way is what? Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Without me, no one can go to the Father. So this is the plan of God, to redeem mankind through Jesus Christ. Verse 8.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
There was a one lady, she and her family, they were traveling all over India, one temple to another temple to another temple to another temple, looking for peace. And she said, my father died in a journey, my brother died in a journey, my whole family died in the journey, and I was left. And she said, I was listening to one preacher, and he was saying from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28, O heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. That lady received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. She came to America. She studied Hebrew. She studied Greek. She wrote the Bible. She went back to India, started orphanage in India, and took all the ladies who were suffering. In those days, they were throwing the ladies in the fire when the husband is dead by force. If your husband is dead, you cannot live, you have to die. And they call for that sati. And they were throwing those ladies. But this lady who got saved, she came to America, studied the word of God, went back to India, and saved those ladies dying. And today she has the orphanage for ladies in India. So what I'm trying to say, only grace we can find in Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can save you. You cannot do with your own strength and power. That's what I'm saying. The people are looking somewhere, peace, salvation, but they are frustrated. I just heard the other day, some Christian group, they went to Kashmir, Christian people. Why? Because they had some kind of hurricane or some earthquake or some problem. And there are so many Hindus and Muslims are there. And one man was trapped there and his hand was almost ruined. One person shouted, say Jesus! Say Jesus! And he was shouting in their language. And the man said, Jesus! And all of a sudden that ruined hand started getting strength and became completely healed. And I heard hundreds of people got saved and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Hallelujah.
Just looking at that man, how this man calling upon Jesus gets saved and healed completely in front of their eyes. Our God is a great God. So the word of God says you don't have to do anything. Just believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your life will be transformed. Your life will be completely changed. And that's what God does. How he does it? Free. It doesn't cost you anything. If you achieve your salvation by money, then you will be boasting. So here he's saying, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. The salvation is what? The gift of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, what he says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the salvation is free and is a gift of God. Okay, let's go back to our 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4.
Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, not one, all. Each and every trial and tribulation you go through, you come more pure and more holy and more better. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7, please read. We'll come back to this.
Let the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Might be found honor, glory, when Jesus Christ comes. When you have trials and tribulations, you are going through fiery trials, and you start saying, Lord, why me? I don't want to go through this. You will not have purification. You will not be sanctified. You will not become closer to God. But many people, when they have trouble, they curse God and they go other way. So that's what the Word of God is saying. The people, when they go through fiery trials, they should be getting more better and giving glory and honor to God, because God is preparing us for His coming. We cannot be selfish. If God doesn't do this, I will not do that. You cannot try to fight with God. If you go to the world, God is not going to lose anything. If you come to God, it will be a blessing to you. God says, I have given you a chance. You want to go? Go. You want to come? Come. He says, choose life or choose death. It's up to you. God is not forcing salvation on anyone. Go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. When the trial comes, trial does not tell you, I'm going to come such and such a date. So God is not telling you exactly what time you will have problems. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you.
See, he says, beloved, think not strange thing concerning the fiery trial. Means don't think this strange thing happened to me, or why this fiery trial came to me. Don't think like that. Because God allows us to go through fiery trials. Enemy brings all kinds of trials and problems and temptation. Sometimes we do not understand. We start blaming God. When cancer comes, somebody says, God sent this cancer. God doesn't send a cancer. God doesn't send any sickness and disease. Sometimes God allows you to go through fiery trials, but don't think that God sent this thing on you. St. John chapter 10 verse 10, what he says? The enemy, the devil, the Satan, the thief comes to kill, steal and destroy. That's what we have to learn. Don't blame God of any disaster, any problem comes. We know God knows everything. They say, why God did not stop? Why this all the children dying every day, these abortion clinics? Why, where is God? Why God is not stopping this? And all the disaster comes. Why God is not stopping? God says, I did not send the disaster. I did not start these abortion clinics. But all the trials and tribulations and problem comes by enemy. Now what Jesus says, but I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So let's go back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 4.
who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted.
Who comforteth us in all our tribulation? There is not a single trial God cannot handle it. Our God knows everything.
Amen.
Go to God and say, Lord, this is my body. This is your temple. And I want you to come into my life, cleanse this temple. Any sickness, any disease, any sinful activity in my life, take it away. And then it will be restored. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that God can heal you? And if you believe, He is going to heal you. And when He heals you, do not go back to sin again. When people came to Jesus Christ, He healed them, He saved them. And what did He say? Go in peace. And what? Sin no more. God can do anything. There is nothing impossible with God. If He can make man from the dust, and He can bring Jesus out of the grave, and Jesus can bring Lazarus out of the grave, He can do anything. But why we are sick, why we are having problem? Because we do not trust God. We trust in our own understanding. Why can't you find the best surgeon in the universe? Who is it? Jesus Christ. He is the first surgeon who took the rib of Adam and made the woman without anesthesia. And so that God is not dead yet. That God is alive. When we trust in Him, we will not have a problem. He said, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. I am the living example. Since 1956, I did not take any medicine in my body. I did not go for any checkup. I did not take any kind of injection or doctor's counsel to live healthy life. I am a living example. That's why St. Paul is saying, he had all kinds of trials and tribulation. He says, my God has comforted me. He supplied my need. That's why I am able to comfort you. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. How can you comfort somebody that you don't get comfort? Some people come to you and say, oh, could you please pray for me? What's your problem? Oh, I have pain in my rib. Oh, man, I have pain in my both sides of rib. My back, my legs are hurting, and my head is hurting, and I'm suffering more than you. Do you think that man is going to get any comfort from you? What are you going to say to that man? Hey, I had worse problem than you. Jesus healed me. And so I can pray for you. And God can heal you. That's called giving comfort to somebody. If somebody starts crying and you start crying with him, you have no comfort to that person. So he said, God has comforted us so we can comfort others. If somebody is crying and you cry with that person will feel good that you are sympathetic, but that person's burden will not go away. You have to tell that person, don't cry. God will fix it. He did it for me. He will do it for you. And that's the call, giving comfort to others. You cannot say, oh no, this disease is too horrible. You have to go to Europe. You have to go to some other country. You have to go to some country and take some kind of different kinds of medicine. In America, there is no hope for you. You cannot say like that. I say, my God is here. My God is able. That's why I tell you people, go and tell somebody. If somebody says, this person is dying within 7 days, bring that person to church. See what God can do. We are comforted. God has did miracle for me. And I am able to tell, one day I was lying on my bed, not even the bedroom, on my living room, just near the steps. How many days? 10 days. Could not get up. My wife is a nurse. She could take me and do surgery. Or we had 100% Blue Cross and Blue Shield. We don't have to pay a penny to the doctor. I said, I'm not going anywhere. 10th day, I said, Lord, your word said the trouble is for 10 days. This is my 10th day. I'm going to get up and be healed. And the 10th day, I was completely healed without any doctor's medicine, without anybody's hand. What I'm trying to say, the word of God says you are comforted, so you comfort others. If I'm not walking with God, if I do not have experience with God, if I do not know what God does, how can I tell somebody else? So you have to come closer to God and get some experience. That's what St. Paul is saying. I had a lot of bad problems came to me. He's not talking about sickness and disease in this chapter. He's talking about trials and tribulations. I'm living for Christ. And if I die, I'll go to heaven. And I want to tell them, if I can do it, anybody can do it. So there is nothing impossible. That's why the word of God says, comfort others. Because our God is the God of all comfort. Let's go to the verse 5.
For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation.
Now what St. Paul is saying? All this trouble I go through, and all this tribulation I went through, for your benefits, for your blessings. People don't understand. Mother and father, when they bring the child in this world, that child is baby. You get up in the middle of the night. You change the diaper. You give the baby formula. You take that baby to check up several times in a year. When the child becomes 18, he says, who are you? Why should I talk to you? I have several friends. I don't want to talk to you. Don't ever call me. I'll call you when I have time. What St. Paul is saying, all my troubles, all my sorrow and pain, I did it for you. He's talking to the church. For your benefits, for your salvation, for your growth. That's why he said, when I'm going through all these trials and tribulation, I'm trying to tell you, when God helped me, he will help you. So all this problem comes. St. Paul is saying, you are benefiting from our trouble. One minister said, you know what? I did all the research in the Bible. I did all kinds of research and everything. And I put it in my tape or put it in my book. So you don't have to go searching all of these things just by my tape. Or just by my CD. You don't have to go searching. I have already searched for you. That's why St. Paul is saying, everything I did it for your consolation, or for your benefit, or for your blessing, and for your salvation. Verse 7.
And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that ye as partaker of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation.
Our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also the consolation. So what he's trying to say, all these things are happening to you on trouble. I know that you are going to be steadfast. You are going to be strong. And he says, if you suffer and partake the suffering, what we are suffering with Christ Jesus, then you are going to get benefit. People don't want to suffer. Christian life is a life of what? Suffering. Amen. We suffer so we get benefits. Jesus Christ suffered on the cross. Why? He said, if the wheat is not dying, it's not going to produce anything. I have to die for mankind. When he was dead, and buried and came out of the grave. So now what? Not only one son of God, God has so many children. If Jesus didn't die and buried, God will not have many children. You understand? So that's what it is. He says, now you are suffering, but you are going to get benefits. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 17.
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
So if you are a child of God, that means what? Whatever the benefits Jesus Christ has as the Son of God, you have the same benefit. That's what he's trying to say. What Jesus has, you can have it. Then what he said, so be that we suffer with him. With whom? With Christ. That we may be also glorified together. So if you need only benefits and no suffering, you cannot be glorified with Christ together. Christ suffered and now he is glorified and he is at the right hand of God. Now we are followers of Christ. Read the verse 18.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
I can tell you, the sufferings of this world, you cannot compare with what glory you are going to get in heaven. Now you can live 120 or 130 years, but if you ask somebody, how is your life? He says, all trials and tribulation and suffering in this world. But when you get saved, what happened? All this suffering of this world will be vanished away. And then the life start, what? Eternity with Jesus Christ. Now compare your life 130 years. And with God, eternity means what? There is no end. Our life is very short. But when we suffer with Christ, we will have glorious life in God, in Christ Jesus. If you suffer with me for a while, you will have glorious life. Shall we rise? We are going to suffer for Christ. We are going to have a glorious life. And God is going to comfort us because he has comforted many. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. We are going to go forward looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Your word says, when you look at Jesus Christ, you will be not fainting in your mind, because Jesus Christ suffered for us. He has set an example. And Lord, we are going to follow you.
Yes.
Because we are going to have the glorious life in Jesus Christ in heaven. And we heard we are lifted up in heavenly places. And spiritually we are sitting at the right hand of Jesus Christ. We are belong to you. Give that vision to every believer. Believing that there is nothing impossible with God. God is going to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.